Malachi, went to the lesson on the book of Ruth. We read that entire book. Read the book of, or the, went through the book of Judges. We read the book of Jonah, two lessons on Jonah. Then Nahum, who was a prophet in Judah, that God was going to get Nineveh back and destroy them. Eventually saved Judah. Then last week was Haggai, and rebuilding the temple. And tonight is Obadiah. We can try to find him with one chapter. Try to find him in the Old Testament. So in the notes, just a little review, a little timeline. Clarence mentioned his lesson Wednesday night. That he had a list of, I think a Bible that listed the books of the Bible in chronological order. Typically, when we study the Old Testament, we go through the Pentateuch and Joshua and Judges, and then the Kings and Ezra and Nehemiah, and then we pretty much stop. But we don't really spend a lot of time in the Psalms and the major and minor prophets, so that's what we're doing in these last couple Sunday evenings. Clarence has been going through the Old Testament. He's going to be doing Micah this coming Wednesday night. And he mentioned a pretty large introduction on the history. But I'm going to give you a timeline also. So kind of look at your notes. We're going to go back a ways, a couple hundred years. So we need to have one more outline, Clarence. So back going 931 B.C., you remember this, the United Kingdom under Saul, David, and then Solomon. And then that United Kingdom was divided into the north and the south, Israel being the north and Judah the south. It's interesting that when that kingdom divided, stories, now you put this, yes it is, in the 1 Kings chapter, the end of chapter 11, the first Kings chapter 12, find Jeroboam is the king of Israel in the north, and Rehoboam, Solomon's son, is king of Judah in the south. Well, Rehoboam, being king of the Israel in the north, decided, you know, if we leave things as they are, these people are going to go down to Jerusalem in the south and worship, and they may want to stay there. So he made some changes. And these are all listed in the last chapter of 1 Kings chapter 12. But one of the first things he did was change the object of worship to two golden calves. Then he changed the place of worship because he put a golden calf, one in the city of Dan and the other in Bethel. Then he changed the order of the priesthood, and he made priests of, the Bible uses this phrase, of the lowest of the people. And then he changed the date of a festival that was happening in Judah. So made four major changes by Jeroboam in the north, and you wonder why God sends prophets to them to make corrections, and they don't do it. So then on the next on your list, in 760 B.C., the prophet Jonah, remember this, journeys to Nineveh, capital of Assyria, he preaches, and the Ninevites repent. However, it does not last, and they return to being a very cruel warrior nation. And then in 722 B.C., Assyria raids the northern kingdom of Israel. They carried them captive to Assyria. Now, giving you the scripture reference for that. And then what Clarence mentions last Wednesday night, he actually mentions some of these names, Sennacherib and Shalmaneser, and a few others. And then in 650, approximate date, Nahum, a prophet in Judah, delivers his message that God will bring in another empire to destroy Nineveh, which had taken the northern kingdom. Well, Assyria didn't stop at the border. They also invaded Judah and made them a subject to them and tried to take money from them or service from them, and they said, you know, we won't overrun you if you, Assyria said, if you treat us right. But they didn't take the southern kingdom Judah captive. Then you you'll notice there's a 20-year span, or then in 612, and Nineveh, capital Syria, is defeated by Babylon. But then in 606, for the next 20 years, it begins the first of three attacks on Judah, the southern kingdom, by Babylon. And some are taken captive. I'm going to give you the scripture reference for that. And then in 597 B.C., the Babylonians make a second raid on Judah and Jerusalem, and there's a scripture reference. And then the last one, in 586, the final siege on Judah and Jerusalem, and the final group of captives are taken, but the poor remain in Judah. And then, I go back to that year of 606, somewhere during these 20 years, so I put the 606 through 586, that's when Obadiah delivers his message to Edom to condemn their actions toward Judah during the time Babylon was raiding Judah. And so then we're going to read Obadiah's sermon tonight. Remember, Edom, I should put this in your notes a little earlier, but Edom borders Judah on the south. And they didn't treat Judah nice during Babylon's raid on Judah. So Obadiah says, God's going to get you for this. We'll read that in a moment. And then I just continued the timeline, just for your information. 586 to 536 B.C., that's where the Babylonians took the captives for 70 years. And you read that in the book of Daniel. And then in 536, Cyrus issues a decree permitting the captives to return to Jerusalem. And I mentioned this before, but in Ezra chapter 1, the actual decree is written down. Exactly what Cyrus said in issuing a decree to allow the captives to return back to their homeland. In Ezra chapter 2, there's a whole listing of the returnees. Thousands upon thousands. Names and numbers. And then also returning are Ezra, Nehemiah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, Zerubbabel, and Joshua. Now I put the names of the books of the Old Testament in bold print so you can see the kind of a chronological order. So up at the top you see Jonah, then Nahum, then Obadiah, and then these last prophets who were all together in the return in Jerusalem. So now the book of Obadiah. Well, he's the author, obviously. It's his book. Prophet in Judah. Name means a servant of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Written, I'm guessing, probably just prior to the final raid on Judah to the Babylonians. Somewhere right in there. And the purpose, or the setting. So this is the back kind of background of Obadiah's message or sermon to Edom. But Judah's had a long-standing feud with Edom, neighboring nation of distant blood relatives through Jacob's brother Esau. You wonder where the Edomites came from. They're descendants of Esau. When Judah was invaded and conquered by Babylon, Edom not only cheered and gloated, and that would be in the text that we read, they also looted Judah in the aftermath, and also captured those who tried to escape and turned them over to the enemy. So Edom wasn't very nice to Judah. So Obadiah, in this chapter we're going to read, condemns the Edomites' treachery, declares God's inevitable punishment for their crimes against his people. And I just put kind of an, oh, by the way, if you want to read about the origin of the Edomites, it's in Genesis and Numbers. Alright, so here's the Obadiah's message to these Edomites who should have helped Judah out, should have befriended them in some way, but they turned against Judah. So Obadiah sends a message to Edomites. Here it is. The vision of Obadiah. Thus says the Lord God concerning Edom. So there's our setting. We have heard a report from the Lord, and a messenger has been sent among the nations bring the surrounding nations to form an alliance and battle and destroy Edom. But all we know is, however God decided to get that message to the neighboring nations, we don't know. We just know this is by inspiration. God sent a messenger. Verse 2. Here's the message to Edom. Behold, I will make you small among the nations. You shall be greatly despised. The pride of your heart has deceived you. You who dwell in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high. You who say in your heart, who will bring me down to the ground? Now, it's a geography lesson in those verses. Edom is in a territory that's mountainous. And they thought there was so much safety in those mountains, nobody can attack us and conquer us. We have the mountains on our side. That's our protection. So Obadiah says, not going to work. Verse 4. Though you ascend as high as the eagle, and you go to your mountaintop, and though you set your nest among the stars, from there I will bring you down, says the Lord. So Obadiah has given Edom a message. Verse 5. If these thieves that come to you, if robbers by night, oh, how you will be cut off. Would they not have stolen till they had enough? Grape, in the other illustration, if grape gatherers had come to you. But oh, how Esau shall be searched out, in verse 6. How his hidden treasures shall be sought after. So you know all that looting you got from Judah, Obadiah says? Somebody else is going to come in and take it. Just like you took it from Judah, you're going to get the same. That's what he said. Verse 7. And all the men in your confederacy shall force you to the border. The men at peace with you shall deceive you and prevail against you. Oh, the people you thought were on your side, Edom, they're going to turn against you. Those who eat your bread shall lay a trap for you. No one is aware of it. Well, until Obadiah spilled the beans. Verse 8. So now, will I not in that day, says the Lord, even destroy the wise men from Edom and understanding from the mountains of Esau? Then your mighty men, O Teman, there's a city in Edom, shall be dismayed, so even the mighty men, the warriors, to the end that everyone from the mountains of Esau may be cut off by slaughter. Like a message like that preached to you. You're not going to last, congregation. Now verse 10. I wonder, what did Edom do? What was the problem with Edom? Starts in verse 10. For violence against your brother Jacob. I put that in the very bottom of your notes. What Edom did to Jacob, or the southern kingdom. Shame shall cover you. You're going to be cut off forever. In the day that you stood on the other side, in the day that strangers carried captive his forces, when foreigners entered his gates and cast lots for Jerusalem, even you were as one of them. You joined forces with Babylon in the destruction of Judah, the southern kingdom. That's what Edom. In verses 12, 13, and 14, there are 8 should nots. At least I'm reading from the New King James Version. There are 8 things that Obadiah says, you should not have done this. So listen for the should nots. Verses 12, 13, and 14. 8 times. You should not have gazed on the day of your brother in the day of his captivity to the dungeon. Nor should you have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction. All right. Judah's getting destroyed. Oh boy, oh boy. Still in verse 12, the last one. Nor should you have spoken proudly in the day of distress. We're okay. We'll never be defeated. Oh, but Judah's one. Verse 13, another. not. You should not have entered the gate of my people. He came into the land along with the Babylonians in the day of their calamity. Indeed, you should not have gazed on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. Wow. Verse 14. You should not have stood at the crossroads to cut those off among them who escaped. Turn in your cousins, your distant blood relatives, turn them in when they tried to flee Babylon. Still in verse 14. Nor should you have delivered up those among them who remained in the day of distress. So eight times Obadiah says, should not. Should not. So verse 15, for the day of the Lord, for the day of the Lord upon all the nations is near. Here it is. As you have done, it shall be done to you. Your reprisal shall return upon your own head. For as you drank on my holy mountain, so shall. So here you have in verse 16, as and so. So in other words, as you did, so shall it become back to you. So shall all the nations drink continually, and they shall drink and swallow. They shall be as though they had never been. So you joined with the Babylonians, and now you're going to drink from a bitter cup. Edom. Verse 17. But on Mount Zion there shall be deliverance. Yeah, even though Judah was taken captive, they're going to return 70 years later. There shall be holiness. The house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. All that looting that was done. It's going to be returned. In verse 18, the house of Jacob shall be a fire. The house of Joseph a flame. The house of Esau shall be stubble. They shall kindle them and devour them. No survivor shall remain of the house of Esau. For the Lord has spoken. And it wasn't very many years or centuries later, the Arabs invaders drove out the Edomites from their country, and they no longer existed as a nation. Gone. Verse 19, the south shall possess the mountains of Esau. The lowlands shall possess Philistia. They shall possess the fields of Ephraim, the fields of Samaria. Benjamin shall possess Gilead. All the captives are coming back. And all, in verse 20, all the captives of this host of the children of Israel shall possess the land of the Canaanites as far as Zarephath. The captives of Jerusalem are in Shararad shall possess the cities of the south. And then, so even later in history, the last verse, then Savior shall come to Mount Zion to judge the mountains of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. Perhaps that's a reference to the coming Messiah, the eternal kingdom, the church. So there's some imagery in here, no figurative language, but I think we can understand Obadiah's message that God didn't like what Edom did to Judah. So that's the story. As far as a lesson for us, we just need to know God's in control, and God will take care of everything in His. When Cyrus, right above with the bold print in the book of Obadiah, 536 B.C., where Ezra chapter 1, Cyrus not only in Ezra chapter 1 issued the decree, but put in the notes, he turned all the temple vessels taken by Babylon. It's actually stated in the text. Everything that was taken was given back. Except Ark of the Covenant. We have recorded that the Ark of the Covenant was taken, and that's all the Bible tells us. We don't know anything about its arrival in Babylon or what happened to it. The Bible Bible is strictly silent on the Ark of the Covenant after Babylon invaded Jerusalem and took it away.
I thought the Nazis found it in Indiana Jones.
Indiana Jones cannot find the Ark of the Covenant. And if he can't find it, I don't think we can. So just kind of a little Bible trivia, we just don't know. The Bible does that specifically say the Ark was taken. But then it's silent on the Ark of the Covenant from that point on. Just silent. You can get 20 questions, but we don't know. Well, okay. John, do you have a question? That's right. We mentioned in our Bible class this morning, John, that very theme on the questions that people ask, and it sidetracks them from the greater message of the text. We just always wonder certain things. And oh, by the way, just remember going back, I mentioned class this morning, too. During the wilderness wanderings, at the age 39 or 40, when the Israelites made their trek around the bottom of the Dead Sea to go into the land across the River Jordan, they wanted to go through Edom because Edom borders on the south and borders on the south end of the Dead Sea. And remember, in the Balak, king of Edom, said, "No, you can't cross here. No, blood relatives or not." So that's when Balak hired Balaam, who was a prophet in Israel, or Judah. And Balaam sold out for treasure, and then he went back and forth. So, but the Israelites went all the way south of Edom and up the eastern side of the Dead Sea, and then camped around Mount Nebo, and that's where Moses died. And Joshua took over, and the Levites led the parade across the Jordan River into the Promised Land. That's the story of Joshua. Fought the battle of Jericho, and they fought the battle of Ai and lost. I wonder what happened. Well, that story is they kept some of the treasure from Ai, from Jericho. I mean, what about Jericho? So they said, "No, can't do that." So that's why you lost. Okay. Not Bible stories. And always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of invitation, song of encouragement. It's just been our custom, and maybe someone here that would like to become a member of the New Testament Church, and you just need to let that request be made known. You will be baptized for remission of sin. You want to have a prayer request, we can certainly honor that also. But we just need your resolve to be known to us. So let's stand together. We'll sing the song that death has selected for us.